And tell them no more distractions. Amen. And you can be seated. Well, we certainly are glad to have everyone here with us this evening. You probably have noticed that we're doing something a little bit different. We didn't do the tithes and offerings before praise and worship. I'm going to do that now. But tonight we're going to do something different with our tithes and offerings. Before I get into that, let me just say, we changed up on Sunday mornings doing the offerings, trying to incorporate it over into our worship service. And I did that for several reasons. There were some natural reasons, but the main spiritual reason why I decided on doing that was to make giving about what it should be about. And that is an honor for our Lord. That we don't give just to get, although we have promises and we should exercise our faith for those promises. And sow in faith and giving faith. But the primary reason why we give to the Lord is because we honor Him. Because we love Him and because we want to worship Him with that aspect of our life by bringing the first 10% of every bit of the increase that comes into our life and giving it to our Lord and our Savior. And I have just been overwhelmed and amazed at the generosity of this body of believers. So oftentimes I feel like I probably should teach on the subject of tithing and giving more to encourage the faith of the people who are doing it. But I made a pact with the Lord that I would never minister on the subject unless He told me and commanded me to do so, to make church as pure as possible and not have any worldly motives or selfish ambition thrown into the teaching of the Word of God. And I have just been amazed to see the heart of the givers here at Word of Life, that even in the Christmas season, the giving went up. Just amazing things to see. So I compliment you on your obedience to God's Word. I honor your love for our Master and your love for our God. That without any arm twisting or without any strong pulls from a natural man, that your love for God is enough of a compelling reason to be obedient to the Lord. And that's just awesome to me. So I salute you this evening and I honor your faithfulness to the Word of God. And with that, I think we're just going to see God do miraculous things. Even in prayer this past week, I've just sensed that there are so many key individuals, not just within this church, but within the body of Christ, who are right on the threshold of some things that, I think it may be an overused analogy, but it's the only one I can think of, breaking the sound barrier. That right before they did that for the first time, the plane was just shaken. I mean, just a violent opposition to breaking that barrier. But once they went ahead and broke it, it was smooth sailing on the other side. And then to get to the second phase and the third phase, it was just even easier than the first phase once they broke through that. And I just sense that there are some individuals in this body of believers, but also in the body of Christ, that are just right at that place, or it just seems like you've had some opposition coming your way. Maybe it's been the buildup of what's taken place in the economy or something like that, but just some natural opposition. But I'm telling you, your faith has made a difference, and there's about to be a supernatural breakthrough. And right after that breakthrough, not only is there smooth sailing on the other side, but you're going to reach the next level and then the next level and then the next level with so much speed and so much tenacity that it's going to be a thing that's going to be a sign and a wonder even to other people. So I just want to encourage you in that. Be on guard for it. And like we said Sunday morning, keep using your faith. Because it is that makes the difference. So, but with tonight, we're going to do our regular tithes and offerings like we do on Sunday morning. If you brought your tithes and offerings to the church this evening, you can drop them off at our buckets and whatever those things are, the big metal things, say tithes and offerings. You can drop them off there at the end of service. But tonight, I wanted to take up a special offering for a church here in town named Word of Faith. I think that probably a lot of us in the room are familiar with that body of believers. And this past week, they had their pastor go home to be with the Lord. And that is something that for this body of believers, we are not unfamiliar with. My father went home to be with the Lord over 10 years ago. And with that, there's a period where not uncertainty by any means, but in the sense of it's good to have all the support you can get and all the encouragement you can get and all the prayers you can get. And so I want to encourage you to be praying for that body of believers, be praying for the families of those who were involved. But then tonight, I just felt led to take up an offering for them and just let them know that, you know, it's one thing to say that you're praying for someone and praying for, but it's a whole other thing to show it. And to show the proof of the pudding's in the eating. And I don't know about you, but I know I've had some people tell me before, I'll be praying for you. You wondered if they ever did. And so times like this, this is where the body of Christ kicks in. How many of you know that here, not just here locally, but here all over the United States, that we are a body of believers? That we are a body here, a Word of Life, but we're a body with a Word of Faith, with Pine Lake, with Vineyard, with all the other churches on Lakeland Drive, all the other churches in the Jackson Metro. We are a body of believers, and there shouldn't be any competition, and there shouldn't be any. No, friend, I'm telling you, if one's hurting, we all hurt. If one's crying, we all cry. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. If one is celebrating, we all should celebrate. And so I just felt led to be a blessing to them. And so tonight, if you desire to do so, you can make the checks payable to Word of Life, but everything that you put in the offering buckets that pass by, what you put in the offering receptacles back there, we'll take that as tithes and offerings. But anything you put in the buckets that passes by right now, make it out to Word of Life, but then we'll cut one big check of everything you put in over to Word of Faith. And like I said, be diligent to keep that body of believers, that church, the pastor's family in your prayers. Prayer does make a difference. Amen. And we've seen what happens that you can go through something like that and not only come out shining, but through the grace of God and through prayers and faith, you can come out better than ever before. And so we're going to be believing for that for them as well. Amen. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads. Like I said, while we're doing that, you can make out your checks. But let's bow our heads and let's pray for that body of believers. Pray for that pastor's family. Father, we come before you this evening and we thank you that we are the body of Christ. And Father, we thank you that we right now in Jesus' name lift up the Johnson family. Lift up Word of Faith to you, Lord. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you send strength their way, that you send your mercy their way. And Father, you sent the Holy Spirit, our comforter, for a reason, to comfort us, to be an ever-present help in a time of trouble, to be a standby, to be a source of peace and a source of life and inspiration and hope. And so, Father, we thank you right now that the ministry of the Comforter is reaching the entire Johnson family, that entire body of believers. Father, we thank you for your ministry of comfort, helping them through this time. Father, we rejoice that there is a hell to shine and a heaven to gain. And we thank you for our brother in the Lord, Pastor Johnson, that he's celebrating in heaven with you now. Father, we thank you for heaven and the gift that you've given us. in that. And Father, we rejoice with him for this transition. And Father, for his family, we just thank you that they are able to rejoice as well, knowing that death for a believer is not a goodbye, but a see you later, that we'll all see each other again. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you strengthen them spirit, soul, and body. Build them up and comfort them. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for that body of believers, for that church, that you not only keep them steady, but help them increase, Lord. Father, we thank you that their light shines ever brighter, that the destiny and call that you've given that ministry, Father, we thank you it shall all come to pass in Jesus' name, that you are not moved by man, you are moved by the call that you've given things. And Father, we thank you that that call expands, goes forth, and makes a difference in this community. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that you are a wonderful Heavenly Father, and you will see everyone through this time, that you'll make it peaceful and make it full of life for all involved. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Ushers, you can pass our buckets this evening. While they're passing those, like I said, don't forget to lift up the Johnson family in your prayers and lift up that body of believers. I know I certainly will and have been doing that. And it's just a joy, isn't it, to know that we are the body of Christ. I'm telling you what, that's in my heart strong here for the last couple of months. Jesus and his final, what we gather was one of his final prayers here on earth. When he prayed and told the disciples, he said, I'm praying that you all will be one. That just as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, that his body of believers are one. And friend, I'm telling you, it is time that people stop criticizing other denominations, other body of believers, and we be the body of Christ and walk in love with everybody, especially the household of God, especially our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, regardless of what denomination they are. Friend, if as long as they're preaching Christ to him crucified, for as long as people are winning people to the Lord and getting them born again, buddy, I can have fellowship with that. I can send an offering for, I'm telling you what, that we all ought to have that we are a body of believers. Amen. And so be in agreement with that the body of Christ and key ministers awaken to that. That no matter if you're Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, whatever, that if we're preaching Christ, we can have fellowship one with the other and support each other. Amen. Be good to each other. Open up your Bibles with me this evening to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 14 and verse 54. Last week, I had the opportunity to be around some other ministers and just talk shop. And just talk about the things of the Lord. And that's always just a blessing to get over in that type of environment. And anyway, I was talking to one particular minister who I knew here recently, within the last 3 or 4 years or so, had just gone through a really tough time and seen some things, just attacks from the enemy. On just every different side, every different front. And now they're on the upswing, coming out of it and seeing victory. And that's just so wonderful to see. And anyway, I was talking to him about that. And I was asking him, I said, you know, you've seen a lot over the past couple of years. I said, I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it, but I'd love to know what you're seeing. I said, what did you learn from those experiences? You know, it's like we always say here, experience is not the best teacher. If it was, we'd never make the same mistakes. But evaluated experience is a really good teacher. If you go back and look over what you experienced and see why you produced the results that you did, you can learn a lot from that. And anyway, I asked him, I said, what have you learned? And he told me four principles, four things. And I'm telling you what, when he told me these four things, immediately I grabbed my iPhone and started typing them in. Because these are four principles that you must understand in life in order to live a successful one. I heard a minister at this same type of deal this past week talk about that the key to having a great life is having a romance. And they were saying, you know, obviously, you know, when you have a romance with your spouse, and we should all have that, strive for that. When you have that, you could be the poorest person in all the world, but feel like the richest. And that's the truth, isn't it? But we should have that type of, I don't know if feeling's the right word, but it's the only word that comes to mind, with our relationship with our Christ. There ought to be a life that comes from that. When you're in the call of God, doing the call of God, there's a life that comes from that. It's a romance. I mean, like with this ministry, it's more than a job for me. It's my calling. It's my destiny. I get life from it. I get enjoyment from it. I mean, it's a marvelous, wonderful thing. It enriches my life. And with those things, the enemy, he's always seeking to take away that joy from work, that joy from a marriage, that joy from other relationships, that joy from life. He wants to, you know, I guess you could say strip away that romance where you're not savoring life anymore. You're just kind of living it. And one of the main ways he does it is through these four things. If you don't understand these things, it will lead to a ton, I mean a ton of frustration. And I feel led to cover these, primarily to major on the last one. We'll see how much we get into. In fact, I just sense in my heart right now to make mention of the first two, but kind of major on the last two. Maybe next Wednesday we'll get back over into the first two. But it ties into what we were talking about the last two Wednesdays, this issue of love. There are, like we said, I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, there are things that God flat out rewards. And all of those things are tied to walking in God's ways. When you walk in God's ways, you could say do things His way. There are rewards that come with that. When you live by faith, there's a reward that comes with that. The just are to live by faith, like we've been talking about on Sunday morning. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's a reward that comes by living by faith. It pleases Him, and what pleases Him, He rewards. There's a reward for walking in the call of God for your life. I was talking to someone just yesterday, in fact, and I was saying that faith, it can push your life forward. Faith can, it'll get behind the things of God and push, it'll propel your life forward. But the call of God will pull it. In this ministry, there are times in my life where I've been in faith and I knew I was pushing things forward and seeing progress. But then there were other times where so much progress was made, I knew that wasn't just my own faith. That was the call of God pulling me through those things. You see people even living in the world, but God just directs them. It's the call pulling them into their divine destiny. And when you start inching towards the call of God, it's more than you just trying to push your life forward. That call grabs a hold of you and it'll pull you. I mean, it'll pull you through some things. And we are all called as believers. And I'm telling you what, this church is to be known for this. We are all called as believers to walk in love. I mean to walk in love. It is our commandment for life. And when you start walking in love's ways
and you start doing whatever it takes to inch towards love, it's a call that we're called to as believers. And when we do that, it's like God reaches down and starts pulling your life through things. There's a reward that comes with walking in love that can't be found anywhere else. I'm convinced of it. I am convinced of it. And these four principles tie into what we've been talking about. The first one was, and like I said, we'll make mention of the first two. We might, you know, who knows? We'll see how fast it goes. We could come back to them and make those three and four. We'll see. But the first principle is this. Faithfulness cannot be demonstrated in good times. Faithfulness cannot be demonstrated in good times. When your life is experiencing a measure of success, it's real easy to get a lot of people around you. A lot of people supporting you. A lot of people encouraging you. A lot of people helping you. A lot of people around you. That's real easy. It's real easy to be friends with the popular people. You know, even going back to high school, it's real easy to do that. But faithfulness cannot be demonstrated in times like that. When it's easy to be around someone, faithfulness cannot be really seen. I'll give you, for instance, in Jesus's ministry. Jesus, I mean, he's doing the miraculous. He's seeing signs and wonders. And people are coming out of the woodwork to be around him. Now, he had his critics. He had his critics. But there were far more people who liked him than didn't like him. And in those times, I mean, the multitudes were thronging him. It was real popular to be his disciple. I mean, it was a happening hip thing. But then Jesus would come out and talk about things that were a little bit deeper. And when he got over into subjects that weren't quite so popular, the numbers kind of fell off a little bit. And towards the end of his life and the end of his ministry, he was at a place where he had really just 12 who were still close to him. But even after they came and got him, and the Pharisees and all that came and got him and went to crucify him, it just seemed like everyone kind of vanished from Jesus's corner. I mean, you got people like Peter saying, I don't care what happens, Lord. I am with you all the way to the end. I'm going to be faithful to you all the way to the end. But then something happened and they came and got Jesus. And they're mocking him, and all of a sudden, the disciples are walking afar off, and this man who said, I'll never, never leave you. Watch what he's doing here in Mark chapter 14, verse 54. You've seen this before. I've showed it to you. It said, and Peter followed him afar off. Here Jesus is. I mean, he's about to be scourged. He's about to be beaten. He's about to go through the worst life experience he's ever had. And at that moment when he needed people the most, they were nowhere to be found. Peter's walking afar off. And the lesson from that is this. It's real easy for people to come alongside you when your life is going good. But faithfulness is revealed when your life is not going so good. And you can see who really is faithful to you in those moments. Now, here's what I'm saying through all of this. Is obviously what I'm saying is if you're having a good experience right now at life, not everyone who's in your life is really as faithful to you as you might think. Now, that's not all that good news, so we'll get to the part of the news that is good. The good news is this. Is that there have been people who have been faithful to you, who have stood with you through the thick and the thin, when it wasn't popular to be around you and to compliment you and to stand with you. There are people who have. And those people who have, you know what you need to do? You need to honor them. You don't need to throw them off the next time a superstar comes in your life. Go back to the people who have been with you through thick and through thin. Those are the people who obviously have seen that there is a divine connection with you, and you need that connection in your life. So that's the first thing. Value and honor those who have been faithful to you. How do you know they've been faithful? When everybody else wasn't, they were. That's how you know. The second thing is what kind of person will you be? I've got all this in my notes, got scriptures and examples, but like I said, I don't want to major on the first two. I want to major on the last two. What type of person are you? A faithful man shall abound in the blessings of the Lord. And there are people that you are assigned by God to. I mean flat out assigned to. You've got a heavenly assignment from the Lord to be connected to him. Go over, we'll look at this. Go over to you're listening so good. Go over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. There are people who God has assigned you to and who God has assigned to you. And you need their supply. And they need your supply. And if we are not faithful to be connected to whom God has connected us to, it can have serious consequences. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8, you know the story here. Elijah's going from the brook at Cherith over to a widow woman. And watch this here in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. It said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded. Now who's talking to Elijah here? The Lord is, God is. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now you read the story, and we won't take the time to do it tonight, but I encourage you to do it when you get home. Most of you probably know it. You read the story. This widow woman's about to make her last meal. When Elijah walks up, she doesn't know this man from Adam. He starts talking to her, and she tells him she's on her last meal. But here's the point I want to get at. Nowhere did she say, oh, you're the man of God I saw in a vision last night. And you know, the Lord commanded me that when you got here, I was going to feed you and give you this last meal. And when I sowed this seed, it was going to open up and a level of increase for the both of us. And we were going to be able to eat for many days, for a whole year, actually. And I just had this vision and had this dream where the Lord commanded me to do this to you. No, when Elijah walked up, she didn't know him from Adam. This was a complete stranger to her, but the Lord said, I have commanded her to sustain thee. Friend, God's call on your life to others and for you, for others to you, was a call that was assigned before the foundation of the world. This widow woman was assigned by God to be at that well at the right place, at the right time, to be there when the prophet got there, so that she could not only receive her miracle, but be a miracle to him. She had a call on God for her life to be there for him. And her supply of provision was connected to that man. And if she would have made a decision, no, I ain't giving you my last meal. You must be crazy. You've been out by a brook where ravens have been dropping off food to you every day. When you honestly going to think I'm going to give you my last meal? Not only is it my last meal, it's Johnny's last meal too. My little kid, it's his last meal. No, I'm not giving you that. No, she recognized when he started talking, this is a man of God. And I'm called by God to be a supply. And she did a remarkable thing. She sowed that seed into his life. And when she did, when she made him a little cake first, it opened up a miracle in her life that sustained her for the next year. Well, how did that miracle happen? It wasn't just a seed sowed. It was she was called by God to be a supply to that particular prophet. And that prophet was assigned by God to be a supply to her. They both recognized it. They both understood it. And when they were a supply to each other, everyone's needs got met. And friend, I'm telling you, there are people in your life that God has assigned you to. And there are people that God has assigned to you. And when you are in a place where you are being faithful to be your supply to them, and they are being faithful to be a supply to you, it opens up doors of increase that can sustain you, new levels of increase that can take your life to the next level. But you've got to be faithful. And faithfulness doesn't show up until a challenge comes. That's when you see who's really faithful. Here's point number two. Like I said, I could teach on that for a much longer time, but I'll refrain. Here's point number two. When the Lord deals with your heart, now this is on the other side of this, and I wrote it down here where I can get it out clearly what he said. When the Lord is dealing with you to separate from someone or to watch their behavior, obey. Don't make excuses. When the Lord is dealing with you to separate yourself from someone or to watch someone, obey and do not make excuses. Now, here's what I mean by that. We know when someone sins against us that we will make excuses for them. And when someone asks, how could they do that? You say, they must have had a bad day. They didn't mean it. They must have had a bad day. They must have ate something funny, had a stomach ache, and took it out on everybody. But when the Lord is dealing with you, you don't need to be around that. When you see something and just on the inside, somebody says, well, how do you know? It's like the example I gave the other day. It's like a toast in a toaster oven. It pops up in you. I need to watch that. I don't need to be around that. Don't convince your mind something's not wrong. Don't make excuses. Obey. Go over, I'll show you the scripture for this. Like I said, I got multiples for each one, but I don't want to just throw out a point without giving you a scripture, because you're not to just believe me or to believe the word, right? Let's go over to the book of John, John chapter 2. I'll give you an example of what we just read while we're turning there. Remember the Lord Jesus, he knew Peter would betray him. Isn't that right? The Lord revealed that to him. And when the Lord revealed that to Jesus about Peter, did Jesus ignore it? No, what did he do? He went to Peter and said, I know you're about to face this. I'm just telling you in advance that if you don't want to fall down that road, you need to pray, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He dealt with it. He acknowledged it. He didn't make excuses for Peter. He went to Peter and said, this temptation's coming your way, and you need to know about it, and you need to be aware of it. And so when that happens, like I said, there are some times where you get around someone, and the Lord will be very clear with you. Do not fellowship with that. Do not be around that. Do not allow them to speak into your life. Do not allow the spirit that is on them to get off on you. And when you sense that, don't make excuses. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. We see this here in John chapter 2, verse 23. John chapter 2, verse 23. It said, now when he being Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Once again, it's real easy to befriend the popular guy. At that time, many were all around him. Why? It was the cool thing to do. Verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. What that's saying is he didn't need anyone to talk about Sue. He knew Sue's heart as soon as he met Sue. He knew who he needed to commit himself to and who he didn't need to commit himself to. And friend, I'm telling you, there will be some people in your life that the Lord will bring things to your attention, and you are not to be their judge or juror, but you are to talk to them about that and see if we can't work through this. The other thing is, though, is there are some people who you are not to commit yourself to. Friend, the spirit that is on them will get off on you. And I'm telling you, the enemy seeks to try to do these things. Like I said, I've got a long point, but it ties over into point number three, and I'm going to major on three and four. Here's point number three, and this is why. This is why. If the enemy cannot directly hurt you through your actions, he will try to hurt you through the actions of those closest to you. If the enemy cannot directly hurt you, he will try to hurt you through the actions of those who are closest to you. Here's what I mean by this. Picture Jesus. Once again, I'll give you a biblical example. The enemy did everything in his power to hurt Jesus. I mean, he tempted him, took him up on the mount, tried to get him in all types of sin. Jesus resisted all of that. Then he tried to kill him on a boat, but Jesus woke up and resisted it. Then he tried to kill him through the multitude, throwing him off a cliff, but Jesus walked right through him. He tried everything to attack Jesus. But friends, he never could find a way. He never could get Jesus to mess up, get in fear, get in worry, get in sin. He couldn't make Jesus miss it. So you know what he did? He got those closest to him to miss it. And those who were closest to him were ultimately the ones who led him and betrayed him over into the hands of those who would crucify him. And friend, I'm telling you, Jesus knew what was in the heart of Judas, what was in the heart of Peter. He knew who to commit himself to long before. But here's the moral of the story. When that happens, when people in your life hurt you, wound you, abuse you. I was thinking about this the other day. Jesus said, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." You remember when Jesus said that? I was thinking, they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly what they were doing. But here's the deal. In their minds, they thought they were right. They knew exactly what they were doing, but in their minds, they thought what they were doing was right. See, the enemy, how he works is he blinds the eyes of people. He'll blind their eyes where they can't see what is really real. And in the mind of Judas, he thought he was doing the right thing. In the mind of the Pharisees, they thought they were right. And there are people in your life who, for whatever reason, they will do things. Like in Jesus' case, I made a list of things that happened to him. One, betrayal. Have you ever been betrayed? Another thing that they did was false accusations. Have you ever had that happen to you before? Where you knew you were perfectly right, that you hadn't done any of the things that they were saying you were doing, but you have all these false accusations saying you did something that you did not do. Jesus faced that. Jesus faced humiliation, mocking him as if you're really the king, come down off that cross. He faced all of these things that we face, but yet was out sin. How did he do it? He kept his heart clean. He kept his heart clean. And friend, I'm telling you, the way the enemy gets to you is not through these people hurting you and setting you back through their actions. The way he tries to get to you through them is that their actions do something in you. And through what is going on in you, causes you to live life differently. That these people who will come alongside and commit actions like false accusations, betrayal, abuse, verbal abuse, and even physical abuse, lies, rumors, all of those things, judging you, criticizing you, that all of these things are designed not to set you back through that action, but to rather, through that action, do something in you that sets you back a lot further than those actions ever could. And what it is designed to do is to get you over into point number four. And point number four is this. Always watch in yourself and in others a critical, judgmental spirit and a habit of lying. If you see those two traits in yourself, or if you see those traits just anywhere, it is a sign of a major, major spiritual problem. A major spiritual problem. The enemy, he's always trying to do two things: to move you away from love and to move you away from truth. There are two things. We'll go over to Proverbs. Like I said, we'll teach off of this. And I'm about to close. I cannot believe I'm already pretty much out of time. But go over to Proverbs. And you'll see this here in Proverbs chapter 3. I guess that's why we have next Wednesday, though, where you can come back. That's one of the things I love about being a pastor, is if I don't get it all out in this sermon, I don't have to preach to you till 10 o'clock. You just got to be faithful to come back next week. Proverbs chapter 3, and look here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you." No matter what happens in your life, no matter who is unfaithful, no matter who wounds you, no matter who talks about you, no matter who has a false accusation against you, you are to allow two things to never forsake you: mercy and truth. What's the opposite of being merciful? Being harsh, being critical, being judgmental. What's the opposite of truth? Lies. And here we see in this subject of wisdom, he's saying there are two things, two subjects that you are never to allow to for yourself to be separated from: mercy and truth. Watch what he says in Proverbs 3 and verse 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and the sight of man." Notice there are two subjects that you are to hold close to you. It's the subjects of mercy and the subjects of truth. And what happens so often, particularly with that first subject, is when we are wounded and when you suffer a betrayal like Jesus suffered, there are all types of emotions you face, you experience, and more than anything else, you have to overcome. And when that enemy is warring against your soul, how they wronged you, how they hurt you, how they abused you, how they lied on you, how they're purposefully trying to hurt your career, hurt your marriage, hurt your reputation, that they are being the opposite of merciful. They are being harsh, critical, judgmental. When that happens, you've got to cling closer to mercy than ever before. There's a reason why on the cross it's recorded what Jesus said: "Forgive them, Lord. Forgive them, Lord." Before they ever ask for forgiveness, while they're beating him, while they're giving false accusations against him, what's Jesus doing? You could say it this way: Jesus is guarding his heart. And friend, there's a story that we'll get into next week. It's good. It's good. I promise you. I would not only come if it was just me. I'd not only come, but I'd get the podcast and put it on my favorites list. It's a story that I kid you not, I never saw like I saw it today. It's the story of David. And it's the story of how he had a man next to him who was his closest counselor. And this man, this is the part I never knew. And this is how we're going to link the two together. This man who was so close to him, it was Bathsheba's grandfather. And for years, this was a man that David leaned upon for close counsel. I mean for close, close advice. And when David expected it the least, this man had so much pent-up revenge in his heart that he turned on David and almost sabotaged his entire kingdom. And there are principles that we're going to look at from that story that exhibit the principles that we just went over, these four principles. And friend, I'm telling you, it is powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. You don't want to miss it. Number one, here's the gist of it. Number one, faithfulness cannot be revealed in good times. It is only revealed when it is not popular to be around you. Honor those who are faithful to you and be faithful who God has called you to. There's a supply that's to come out of that. Number two, I want to quote him right. Number two, when the Lord is dealing with you to separate from someone or to watch their behavior, obey. Do not make excuses in your own heart as to why you shouldn't obey him. Number three, here's the third principle. If the enemy cannot get to you, he will try to get to you through those who are around you. That's why you got to be sensitive. Why? Because even if you know that I'm not supposed to be separated from them, I am to watch it. Why would God bring that to your attention if you weren't to separate yourself from them? To already start prepping your heart for what is to come. It turned out in this story, and we're going to talk about this, how forgiveness goes into reconciliation. And we'll talk about all this further. But we'll see that Peter was called by God to be in Jesus' life. And Jesus knew Peter would miss it, but he still stuck with Peter because he knew Peter's call was further than the mistake. That Peter was still to be in his life even after Peter was to commit that mistake. But why would the Lord show Peter's mistake in advance? So that Jesus could already guard his heart for what he knew would come. And friend, I'm telling you, you got to obey it. If the Lord's prompting your heart to watch something, watch it. Don't make excuses, watch it. Employers, listen to me. If the Lord brings an employee up in your heart and you know something's not right, don't make excuses. Watch it. Why? Because if the enemy can't get to you, he'll try to get to you through those who are closest to you. And principle number four is this, and we're going to see all these in the stories. You have to forgive. Watch out for a critical, judgmental spirit. Watch out for a lying, a consistent lie. Friend, I'm telling you, it's a sign of a deep spiritual problem that will hurt not only you, but anyone else who's involved in that. We got to guard our hearts. Amen. Amen. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience. Thank you for listening, even with the rain. That's one.